It's now time for the Spirit Mornings Good Book Club on Spirit Catholic Radio. As we open the Bible, let God's Word feed the soul.
Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father, Terah, in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said to Abram,
"Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed."
So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram.
"To your descendants I will give this land."
And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south.
Good Book Club, Genesis chapter 11, verse 26 through chapter 12, verse 9. The Bibles are open, and we are ready to go with our Bible study Monday through Friday at this time. And Jeb, with us today, we're delighted to have the dynamic deacon, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, joining us to discuss these verses. All right, well, let's talk about, we'll be in Genesis, the closing verses of chapter 11 and the opening verses of chapter 12. And let's talk about genealogy, because what we've been studying so far, genealogy seems to be a very important component of understanding how all this works in Genesis, Deacon.
Yeah, absolutely. And these generational listings are called toledots in Hebrew, and usually they're prefaced by saying these are the generations. And that toledot phrase is used 10 times in the book of Genesis. And the importance is that salvation history comes through the family. Right, we even see this in Matthew's genealogy, when he starts off his entire gospel listing the generations from Abraham to David, and then from David to the Babylonian exile, and then from the Babylonian exile to Saint Joseph. Right, so these right. family links are extremely important. Why? Because the family is the foundation of covenant relationship. Right, that intimate, personal, loving and life-giving communion that God wants with each and every one of us.
And that covenant relationship is very important and speaks to it. I love the voice of God that they use in the audio Bible that we get on these things, because it really brings into focus the nature of this covenant relationship and blessings and curses and all the stuff that goes with it, Deacon.
Yeah, absolutely. This covenant relationship is extremely, extremely important, because it lays down that the relationship is not just a contract between God and his people, not a contract between God and us, but a covenant. You know, it's when you make a complete gift of yourself to someone, and that someone makes a complete and total gift of themselves to you in love that is free and faithful and total and fruitful. And that love comes through a family, which makes perfect sense, because God himself exists as a family, as a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And since we're made in the image and likeness of God, we are also called to be drawn into that family life of God. And so, again, these generational listings, they may seem boring. They may seem like, oh, here we go again. But it really is important in establishing that the family is really the heart and the center of covenant relationship.
So how do you break down that difference a little bit deeper, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, the difference between contract and covenant?
Yeah, so a contract is basically says this is yours and this is mine. It's like when you go into if you're going to upgrade your phone, right, you get a new phone and then you get a contract. And the contract says, you know, if I provide this service and you pay me a certain amount of money or compensation or whatever contractual language says. But a covenant is a gift of self, right? You're making a complete gift of your heart, your soul, your mind, right? The scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, all your strength, right? That's what you're offering to God, the very best of yourself. You're using the gifts that God has given you to honor and glorify him so you can witness to the power of his love in the world. And God gives us the grace. He gives us the strength. And for us as Christians, of course, he gives us the sacraments in order to strengthen us in that relationship so we can be witnesses of that love in the context of covenant to the world.
And that covenant relationship, we become a complete gift to another in the outpouring of this life-giving love. It is a relationship, as you point out, Deacon, a sacrifice centered in the love of God and the love of our brothers and sisters made in God's image and likeness. That's an important relationship to have and to work on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the beautiful thing is, as well, when you look at the second part in Genesis chapter 12, we see the call of Abram. Very interesting. So his name here is Abram, not Abraham,
right?
Because when God changes your name, he also changes your purpose. So so he changes his name from Abram to Abraham. So he changed his name from Abram, which means righteous father, Abram, to Abraham later on, which he calls father of multitudes. Because remember, he gives him a promise that, you know, his descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sands on the sea. And so the call of Abraham or Abram is one of the most important events in the history of the world. Why? Because think about it. Christians, Jews, and Muslims all tie their origins back to Abram and back to this, what's happening right now in the book of Genesis. You know, and here, when God manifests himself, there's no theophanic elements, right? So the way you know how God manifests himself in the book of Exodus, right, in fire, uh-huh, or lightning, mm-hmm, or earthquakes or something like that. But no, not here. It's just a simple call. You know, it's just a simple call. And so the question we need to ask ourselves is, how do we respond to God calling us, right?
Wow.
Because when we get baptized, we receive the baptismal name, which, you know, for many of us, that's the name that we have right now. But for others, when they come into the church, they take on an additional name, a baptismal name, because they're entering into a different relationship with God now. And God wants to call each of us by name. He calls us personally into that relationship. So it's really important to for us to answer that question. When God calls us, how do we respond to the voice of the Lord in our hearts?
You know, sometimes, Deacon, we struggle with that call, though. We might feel that God is calling us towards something, and we don't fully understand maybe why or how, but You know, he is calling us towards that. How do you prescribe that we venture down that path when we're unsure of that calling?
Well, what does Abram do? He makes a sacrifice, right? He builds an altar and offers sacrifice. And we, by our baptism, are made priest, prophet, and king. And in that priestly part of our baptismal call to holiness, we, all of us, not called to be ministerial priests, but the priesthood of all believers, where we make an offering of our lives to God. So in order to understand what that means, we have to find some time for silence. That is so important, because in order to really effectively hear the Lord's voice, we must put ourselves in a place where we can listen to that voice and respond to how God is calling us, to listen to the voice of God and allow that voice to change our lives just the way it changed Abram's life, you know, forever. You know, so we have to find time for silence and stillness, because God speaks to us in the depths of our hearts.
Right.
You know, here he may be calling Abraham. Abraham can hear the call with his ears, but St. Benedict reminds us that we really listen to the Lord's voice in the ear of our hearts, the aurum cordis, as he says in Latin in his rule for monks. And that rule goes for all of us. So we really have to foster and nurture an atmosphere of silence, an atmosphere of quiet, so we can, as priests, listen to how God wants to make an offering and a sacrifice of our life.
Right. And Abram is such an important component in all this, Deacon Harold, because his blessing will go to all nations through Abraham and his descendants. What about half of the world's population can trace back to that? Yeah.
There's a billion Catholics, right? About a half a billion Orthodox and Protestant Christians, 25 million brothers and sisters of Jewish descent, and almost a billion Muslims who all worship the God who revealed himself to Abram. Right. So they can trace, all of us can trace our faith back to this one event. And there's an interesting parallel in Luke's gospel of Simeon's words to the Blessed Virgin Mary, when he says his child is destined for the fall and the rise of many, and a sign to be spoken against. Right. So Christ, like the event with Abram, is determinative of the faith of an entire people. You know, so it's really wonderful how God, out of love, comes to intervene into human history to draw us more deeply into his heart and into his very life.
Wonderful. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, Dynamic Deacon, thank you very much for wading through the technical difficulties and getting this wonderful discussion of the book of Genesis, closing verses of chapter 11, the opening verses of chapter 12. Good to have you with us, Deacon, and could we have you impart a diaconal blessing upon our day?
Sure, it's great to be with all of you. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Deacon. God bless.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
All right, wonderful. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, call him the Dynamic Deacon. DeaconHarold.com, that's his website, and I encourage you to visit there. A lot of great resources to help you, and we love the fact that he helps us out with our Good Book Club studies here on Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Yeah, he's a good one.